Today's shir is Masechta Sukkah Daf Chavav, and we will begin Daf Chavav Amar Aleph, 10 lines from the top. Tana Rabbanan teaches us the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan Holcha Drachim, people who travel b'yoyim, if they're traveling by day, p'turim in a sukkah b'yoyim. They don't have to sit in a sukkah by day. However, b'chayav and b'layla. And as the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos both explain, the Torah Akdosha, when it speaks about the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah, says teishvu, besukkos teishvu. And the Gemara very often learns from the words teishvu, teishvu came to duru. And just like if somebody is on the road traveling, he's not able to stay in his sukkah, so too when somebody is not stay in his home, so too when somebody is traveling, he's not able to stay in his sukkah and he's not obligated to sit in the sukkah. Holchem drocha b'layla. And if somebody travels by night, p'turim in a sukkah b'layla, v'chayovim b'yoyim. Holcha drochem b'yoyim b'layla. If he's traveling both by day and by night, p'turim in a sukkah b'yoyim b'yoyim b'layla, they're not obligated to sit in the sukkah neither by day by night. And then the Braisa teaches us, holcha dvar mitzvah, if somebody is involved in doing a mitzvah, even if they're only traveling by day, p'turim, they still need not to sit in the sukkah, bein b'yoyim, bein b'layla. And the reason is, as we've learned earlier in our Masechta, there's a concept, oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah. So even though these people who are traveling are right now not actually fulfilling any mitzvah, because they're not traveling, but they're still in the category of oisik b'mitzvah. And the halach is that oisik b'mitzvah is part of a mitzvah. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. And the Rishonim take this a step further. But they're still not traveling at night. So explain the Rishonim that when they sleep at night, the reason they're sleeping at night is not just because they want to enjoy sleeping. They're sleeping at night in order that tomorrow they should be able to do the mitzvah in a proper fashion, that they'll be properly rested to be able to do the mitzvah properly the next day. And that's why even though at night they're not actually involved in doing the mitzvah, they're still in the category of oisik b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah, even though they're not actually traveling at night. So now there's a machlokes rishonim, how far does this halacha go? How far do we take this halacha that even though they're not actually currently doing a mitzvah, they're still in the category of oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah? Tosfos' opinion, Tosfos daf chaf hei amud aleph divrei maskil shluchei, says they're only exempt when they can't fulfill both mitzvahs. Because if by fulfilling the mitzvah sukkah, it will prevent them from performing the mitzvah that they're supposed to be doing, so then they don't have to sit in the sukkah. But certainly if they could do both, they are obligated to do both. And so too is the opinion of the Ra and the Ritva. The Ran, however, says, even if they could do both mitzvahs, if in any way sitting in the sukkah or sleeping in the sukkah will cause them a tircha, even though they could still do both mitzvahs, the halacha according to the Ran is they're exempt from sitting in the sukkah. Furthermore, the Levosh explains that when the Braisa began, that somebody's traveling by day is potter by day and chay by night, vice versa, when they weren't going for dvar mitzvah, he says the way to make this determination is only if the person came to a place where there is a sukkah available. So since he's not traveling currently, And he also is not an oisik b'mitzvah. So such a person, if he comes to such a place, he's potter, he's chayv to sit in the sukkah. But let's say the place that he arrived to is a place where there is no sukkah available. He doesn't have to go look to find the sukkah. The Magen Avraham disagrees. The Magen Avraham says that since this person who we are now speaking about is not an oisik b'mitzvah, since he's not an oisik b'mitzvah, he's allowed to, he has to, and now he's not an oisik b'mitzvah, and now he's not actually traveling either, then he has to go build a sukkah. So we says the Gemara, ki ha Rav Chisda Rava Rav Huna, Rav Chisda Rava Rav Huna, ki hava aile b'shaps to the rigol of Reish Galusa. The Shabbos during Sukkos, they would come to the home of the Reish Galusa, because that's when he would say a major shir, and they wanted to come to hear that shir. Says the Gemara, have gono aksa the nahara. They would sleep by the beach, even though they weren't sleeping in a sukkah. And the reason they felt they were exempt from sitting in the sukkah, because they said, Amri, not shluchi mitzvah nan, we're considered shlicha mitzvah, we're going to listen to the shir and pturim, and as we just learned, the shlich mitzvah is potter from the mitzvah. And again, this is a raya that even though at night they weren't involved in doing the mitzvah, but since they had come here with the express purpose of doing a mitzvah, that's enough for them to be, for them, says the Ra, as we said, to be considered in the category of Oisva Mitzvah, and they don't have to sit in the Sukkah. Tanar Abonim, continues the Gemara, Shomri Ir, the people who are the city watchmen, B'yoyim, Pturim, if their job is to watch the city by day, Pturim and Sukkah B'yoyim, so they're exempt by day, V'chayovim B'alayla, Shomri Ir B'alayla, those who travel at night, who watch at night, Pturim and Sukkah B'alayla, V'chayovim B'yoyim, so at night they're exempt because they're doing their job, and by day they're chayiv. Shomri Ir, and those that watch the city, Bein B'yoyim, Bein B'layla, both by day and by night, Pturim and Sukkah, Bein B'yoyim, Bein B'layla, then they're exempt both by day and by night. Shomri Ginos HaPadisim, people who are constantly watching the fields, the gardens, Pturim, Bein B'yoyim, Bein B'layla. But ask the Gemara, V'lev di Sukkah, Hosa V'leisu, why are they exempt? Why don't we tell them that they have to make a Sukkah where they are? And again, the Gemara's question is this considered included in the exemption of Teshuvah Kein Tadura? Now, Abaye says that these people have the exemption that we began the shiur with today of Teshuvah Kein Tadura. In other words, the sukkah, you live in your sukkah like you live in your home. And if these people can't bring their beds and everything that they need to live to the sukkah, So if you can't have your sukkah in a way that you can fulfill the way you're supposed to live, so then the halacha is that that's not Teshuvah Kein Kedura. And it's not expected to bring your bed there. I saw Rashi explains it's a tircha. It's difficult to ask somebody to bring his bed there. The Miri explains, if you're going to bring your bed there and it starts to rain, you're not going to be able to save it. So nobody would bring the bed there. And that's why they're exempt from the category of Teshuvah Kein Kedura. The Ritva takes this one step further. So the Torah doesn't expect us to make a sukkah, a place where people don't live. So people wouldn't live out in the field. So just like a person wouldn't live out in the field, he's not expected to have to make a sukkah out in the field. Rav Amar, Rav says a different reason. He said, the Pasuk says, Pirtzakov Laganov. Just like when a Ganov sees a place where he could do what he wants to do, his thievery, he takes advantage. If the thief will see that this person put up a sukkah in such a place, he's going to assume that that's where he's sitting, it's sukkahs, a Jew sits in the sukkah on sukkahs, and he'll be able to go run around and do whatever he wants. Ask him, Ramai Benayu, what's the Nifkamina? And although I saw Rashi, Taisu says, the Rava certainly agrees to the concept of Teshuvah Kein Tadura. But what he's saying is that it's not, the Rava says in this case, we can't use the concept of Teshuvah Kein Tadura. Because since the place is a place that you could build a sukkah, so build a sukkah there. My benayu. So therefore, ask the Gemara, what would be the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava's explanations why these shomrim are potter from the sukkah? Says the Gemara, ikav benayu, the kamata kari the peri. If he's just watching one spot, and he puts his sukkah over there, so Rava's concern appears to kari laganef wouldn't apply. Whereas according to Abaye, it's that says that this is a case where we can't apply the concept of Teshuvah Kain to Dura, so it's not Teshuvah Kain to Dura, even if that isn't a place that we have to worry about. So now we've learned a new concept, and that is the concept of Teshuvah Kain to Dura, that the sukkah has to be put in a place where you could live. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah discuss a situation, we've mentioned this in our previous year, that if you put your sukkah in a place which is a public place, and there's concern that intruders may walk in there during the night, is it a valid sukkah or not? The Mordechai already says that that isn't considered a valid sukkah. And therefore, one can't fulfill mitzvah sukkah if he put up the sukkah in a place where there's a concern for intruders. So if that's the case, what is the halacha if somebody lives in a country where it's very cold already, sukkahs, and nobody's going to lay outside in such cold water, in such cold weather, because it's cold outside. So the poskim say that that doesn't exempt you from putting up a sukkah. There's a difference where it's an external issue, like the weather, versus having the sukkah in a spot where it's dangerous. And I saw that the poskim, Rav Zalman Nechemya Goldberg Zatzal, explains what's the difference. He says, when you have a sukkah in a place that's dangerous, so it's not that the place itself is invalid to make a sukkah. There's no, the sukkahs are perfectly fine sukkah. The place, the location that you put the sukkah up is an issue. However, when you put up a sukkah in a place that's cold, it's not an issue with the location. It's an issue with the weather. So it's an external disqualification. And since it's an external disqualification, it cannot be compared to a sukkah in a dangerous place. And therefore, even though you have a sukkah in a cold place, it has nothing to do with sukkah being in a dangerous place. A sukkah in a dangerous place may be not kosher. A sukkah in a cold place is kosher. So our Gemara taught us not halacha of Teshuvah Kain to Dura. And the Gemara taught us people who work or are traveling and therefore can't do the mitzvah sukkah, they have the exemption of Teshuvah Kain to Dura. So of course the question comes up when we discuss the Shaila is what is the halacha regarding people who take a trip? Not a business trip, a trip, a chalamai trip. And they don't have a sukkah where they are. What is the halacha regarding such individuals? So Ramosha Nishal Zachubas Igris Moshe, Eurechaim Chel Gimel Samach Tzad Gimel discusses such a Shaila. And he says that Al Gemara speaks about a person who's going out because he needs to make a panosa. He's going out for a dvar mitzvah. But somebody who's taking a trip, which isn't absolutely necessary, it's just because the person wants to take a trip, he wants to take a vacation, he says that individual is not exempt from sitting in the sukkah. That is not considered teshu kain to duru. And then Rav Moshe takes it a step further. He says that somebody in general, he says the Gemara Masechta Menachos, Daf Mem Aleph, Amen Aleph says that Midaraisa, we're only obligated to put on tzitzis on a beged that has four corners. If you don't have a garment that has four corners, you're not obligated to put tzitzis on such a beged. Still, the Gemara says, the Be'idin Rischa, that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom is angry at Klal Yisrael, he punishes us for trying to exempt ourselves from a mitzvah. He says, somebody who takes a trip on Sukkot and then says, we learned in our Gemara, Teshuvah Kain to Duru, and I'm exempt from sinning in a sukkah, is in the same type of situation. But then, he writes in the Chelek of an Ezer, Chelek Dalet Simen Lamed Beis Ois Ches, he writes that if somebody traveled overseas for Sukkot, and now he's there for a couple of days and he wants to see, he's in a foreign place, he's never seen the different sites to see in that country. And there, he says a very interesting chiddush, there maybe we could be there, we could be a little more lenient and allow him to, because he's here and he's not going to be here again, to go and be and see the places, even though it involves not being able to sit in the sukkah. And therefore, he wants to draw some sort of a distinction between somebody who goes on a trip Chol HaMoed that could be done another time, doesn't have the any exemption, versus somebody who doesn't have another opportunity to do this type of a trip. He does have that type of exemption. I saw Rabbi Yashiv says that even though Rabbi Moshe speaks about the person who tries to get away from sitting, wearing tzitzis, we quoted the Gemara Masechet Menachos, being in Rischa, Hakadosh Baruch Hu punishes him, versus a person who takes a trip on Sukkot and then won't be able to sit in the Sukkah. He says, when the Gemara Masechet Menachos speaks about the person who tried to exempt himself from wearing tzitzis, it's a person that never wore tzitzis. He always wore a garment that wasn't mechuyev in tzitzis. So he says, Rabbi Yosha says, such a standard, steady behavior is unacceptable. But somebody that is in a place just for sukkahs, which is a short amount of time, there, Rabbi Yosha says, it may be different. And the comparison that Rabbi Yosha attempts to make may not be 100% accurate. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Choylem Umam Shemshayim, somebody who's sick, and his attendants are part of him, the Sukkah. Says the Gemara, Tana Bana Choylesh Amru, when we speak about such an individual, Loi Choylesh Yesh Besakana, we're not talking about a Choylesh Yesh Besakana, because certainly somebody who's a Choylesh Yesh Besakana, we do whatever we have to do. Rather, Ella Afil Choylesh Yesh Besakana, he's not deathly ill. Afil Chosh Be'enov, he has an eye problems with the eyes. Chosh Barosha, he has a headache. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Pamachas Chashashti Be'enai, once I had an eye problem by Kesri, and when I was in the city of Kesri, V'hitali Rabbi Yosef Ribi, Li Shad'ani U'Misham Shechutz L'Sukkah, he allowed us to sleep outside of the Sukkah. So Rebbeinu Menachem says, how do we know, when do we apply the rule that such a person is parted from the Sukkah, and when don't we apply that rule? So Rebbeinu Menachem says that if the person had this problem when he was home, it would bother him to the degree that he would walk out of his house. He's a person that's parted from the Sukkah. But if you wouldn't walk out of your house, then there's no reason to give you this Ptur. And the Rishonim go on to explain, why did the Mishnah speak about the eye and the head? So of course, the Rishonim explain that if there's a situation of Sakonis Nefoshes, not just Sakonis Nefoshes, but if there's a Sakonis Aver, somebody's going to lose his eye, Chas V'Shalom, or something like that, then there's no question that he's part of the Sukkah. What Gemara is coming to teach us, that since these are very important avim of the person, even though we're not faced with a situation of sakonis nefashis, the halacha is that we could be lenient and allow the person to sit outside of the sukkah. So I saw that Rabbi Yosef Engel explains our Gemara, that what's the lesson of our Gemara? Of course, if somebody's sick and he has attendants that need to take care of him, they're part of from the Sukkah. So Yosef Engel explains that what our Gemara is coming to teach us is that the way we look at needing to take care of a sick person is critical. And what our Gemara is teaching us is that a Choylu Misham Sheyim, the sick people and the people who take care of them. So the people who take care of these individuals who are unfortunately sick are doing Gemilas Chesed. So says Rabbi Yosef Engel Zatzal that Gemilas Chesed is a critical element in who Klal Yisrael is. And since it's a critical element in who we are, if we are taking care of a person who needs care, So that person is doing what a Jew is supposed to be doing. And since he's doing what a Jew is supposed to be doing, he's considered an oisik b'mitzvah and potter min a mitzvah, and he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. Says the Gemara, Rav Sharol of Acha Badalop, Rav allowed Rav Acha Badal Migna Bekiltop to sleep in the canopy. We learned earlier very extensively that under certain circumstances, when you sleep in that kila, it's not considered like you're sleeping in a sukkah if the tequila has a flat roof and the sides go up 10 tefachim. Says the Gemara, for that person who he was not feeling well, he had a problem with shambaki, there were worms in the sukkah, and therefore he was excused. Says the Gemara, Rav Ashar l'Rach bar Ada l'Bigdim bar Metalalta, he allowed him to sleep outside the sukkah. There was a bad odor that came out from the earth on which the sukkah was built. Rava Tamei, because this is what Rava has been teaching us, a mitzvah is potter min a sukkah, and this is clearly considered a mitzvah. So the Mefarshim asked, the Ran asked, that we learned earlier in our Masechta that if there's a bad odor in the sukkah is not a kosher sukkah. So why? What's the Gemara saying that it was a kosher? What the Gemara seems to be saying is that it was a kosher sukkah. He was exempt because it bothered him. So the Ran explains there was a bad odor coming out from the sukkah, but it was the kind of bad odor that only bothered Rav Acha bar Ada. Most people would not be bothered with such a bad odor, and therefore, that's what the Gemara means to say. The Rosh has a different approach. He says that really, even if the sukkah is built in a place with a bad odor, the sukkah is a good sukkah. However, Chazal said we shouldn't sit in such a sukkah because Chazal were concerned that a person may leave the sukkah. He says that this was the kind of situation that he was a guest by other people. And since he was a guest by other people, he wouldn't walk out, even though he didn't like the odor. Or he says it was a kind of odor that wasn't there all the time. And therefore, it's not considered inherently disqualified. But the Rosh makes a very interesting observation. He says what the Gemara says was that Rav allowed Rav Acha bar Ada to sleep outside of the sukkah. What about eating? So it says eating is not sleeping, you sleep a whole night. To sleep a whole night in a place that has a bad odor is obviously difficult. But eating is only for a short while. And therefore, since eating is only for a short while, he could eat there and doesn't affect the kashrus of the sukkah. Based on this, says the Prima Gadim, let's say you have a sukkah that is a place that you could eat, but it's a small sukkah, so you can't sleep. The question is that considered a valid sukkah? So we see from here, says the Prima Gadim, that even though the sukkah is only usable for eating and not for sleeping, the halacha is it's still considered a valid sukkah. And therefore, even if you have a sukkah that's good only for eating and not for sleeping, it's still considered a valid sukkah when you need to eat in a sukkah. Ask the Gemara, Vanantanan, Chayim Shem Shem Patum in a sukkah. So from here we see Chayilin, only somebody who's an individual who's unfortunately sick is exempt from the sukkah. Mitztarloi, why were you being so lenient in allowing even this mitztar to not sit in the sukkah? Answers the Gemara, Amrei, they respond, Chayla hu v'mishamshav. There's a difference between the chayla and a mitztar. By a chayla, it's he and all the people who attend to him, a potter from the sukkah. When we have a mitztar, so there, mitztar's potter from the sukkah, but the tour of the mitztar is only for he himself, avo mishamshav loy. The mishamshay don't have that tour. So of course the Rishonim and the Achronim try to understand why the attendants who are helping take care of the sick individual are parted from the sukkah. Many learn that the reason is Isaac b'mitzvah part of a mitzvah. Darach HaShulchan, that's the Levush is a pshat. But Darach HaShulchan asks, how can we say that? Yes, when you're actually attending the sick person, so we could say Isaac b'mitzvah part of a mitzvah. But when you're not doing anything on behalf of this person who's not well, why are you considering Isaac b'mitzvah part of a mitzvah? Going back to the subject we spoke at the beginning of the shir. And therefore, he explains, the Mishamshim have in the category of Teshvukei Kedur. What do I mean to say? That just like if somebody has a job to help somebody, so all year round, he won't sit in the sukkah then. He's busy taking care of that person. The same thing here. Somebody who is taking care of a sick person has the exemption of Teshvukei Kedura, and that's why he doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. So we learned in the Mishnah, one can eat a temporary meal outside the sukkah. Ask the Gemara, exactly how much is that? Two or three bay. I see many times that people eat that much and they're completely satiated. So the question of the Gemara is, how can we call that achilas sarai? Bavalei sudus kvab. Answers Gemara El Amabaya. What is the shear that's considered a chalas arai? Kiritam Baba Rav Ailakala. As we mentioned previously, they used to have a very long and important shear under certain circumstances. And the Talmidim who would eat outside, who would go to that shear, would take a small bite before they went to the shear so that they shouldn't be famished as they waited for the whole shear. And that's what the Gemara says is considered achilas arai. Tana Rabbanan, oichlan achilas arai chutz l'sukkah. One may eat achilas arai after the sukkah. However, v'ein yishenim shnos arai chutz l'sukkah. A temporary nap, may not be taken outside the sukkah. My Tama, why are we being so strict regarding a nap? Why don't we apply the concept of teshukei tedura? And sometimes a person takes a nap, not in his home. Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, there's a new concern. The concern is Shema Yerodin. The person is that he may fall asleep. He only went in to take a nap, but then he may really fall asleep, and he's going to sleep Ashinas Kva. And Ashinas Kva is also Chutz L'Sukkah. So ask the Sfas Emes, if we're using the concept of Teshukei Tedura, so sometimes a person takes a nap and then he falls asleep and sleeps longer outside the sukkah. So why can't we apply here the concept of teshu kein tedura? So the Sfasema says the concern here is maris ayin. People see him sitting in the sukkah, sleeping in the sukkah. They don't know that his original intent was really only to take a nap. They see him sleeping in the sukkah, and that's why we have to be machmer. Amar of Yosef Rei, Amalei Abaya, Elohad Tanya, Yoshan Adam Shinas Rai B'Tfilin, a person's allowed to take a nap in the Tfilin, Avaloi Shinas Kva, but not sleep, because we're worried that while he's sleeping, he may pass gas. But why do we allow him to take a temporary nap? Why should we not be concerned, as the Gemara just said, of Shema Yerodim, that he has to, they may fall asleep. So the Rishonim ask that we learned that a person, when he's wearing tefillin, is not allowed to be Messiah Das from the tefillin. So if a person is not allowed to be Messiah Das from the tefillin, how can he take a nap? Isn't that being Messiah Das? So Rabbeinu Yonah explains, Messiah Das from the tefillin means that you deliberately, while you're wearing tefillin, think about other things. That's called Hesach Hadas, that's Osir. The person who takes a small nap is not actively being Masich Das from the Tefillin, and therefore it's Mutter. The Shagas Aryeh, however, explains that the Rambam disagrees, and that the Rambam holds doing anything that doesn't help you think about the Tefillin all the time is Osir. So how could one take a Shinas Arai? And the Shagas Aryeh therefore says that Chazal said that the sheer of the amount of time of Hes of that we're learning now of Shina Sarai is not in the category of Hesach Hadas. And since it's not in the category of Hesach Hadas, that's why we could be Makel. So the question is, even if we're Makel, but why are we not concerned for why are we not concerned of Shema Yeradim, that he may fall asleep? Answer the Gemara, Amar Rav Yosef Bereid Rav Eloi, B'maisa Shinas L'Acherim. You ask somebody to watch you and make sure you don't fall asleep. Ask the Gemara, is that an acceptable approach? Maskele Rav Misharsha, Arvach Arvach Tzara. Somebody who's going to make sure that this person doesn't fall asleep, that you're relying on that person. Ela Amar Rabbi B'Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, B'Meniach Rosh Ben B'Krov. The person is not sleeping in a normal fashion. He put his head between his knees, a skinan. And such a person is certainly not going to sleep for a very long amount of time because nobody can sleep that long normally. Rava Amar, Rava says a different reason why we don't have to be concerned is Shein Kvar L'Shina. There's no nafkamina between a Shina Sarai and a Shina Kvar regarding the Sukkah. Because sometimes a person just is taking a nap and that's satisfactory for him. And therefore, that Shina Sarai becomes a Shina Kvar. And therefore, it may not be done on outside the Sukkah. And even though he might have had a Shomer, or even though he might have put down his head not in a normal fashion, if that's what that nap is going to do the trick for him, then it's considered that he slept. But by tefillin, the concern is a different concern altogether. The concern is of Shema Yafiach, that he may pass gas. And therefore, Rav explains, there's a fundamental difference between the halachas of sleeping outside the sukkah and sleeping in tefillin. By sukkah, the halacha is that any sleep which accomplishes what you need that the sleep should accomplish for you may not be done outside the sukkah. And therefore, even if you slept in this type of fashion, the halacha is that may be considered a shinas kvar. Tefillin, the concern is you may pass gas. And therefore, under the circumstances that we've been mentioning, that concern doesn't exist, and that's why it's mutter. Tani Chodah, the Gemara brings a stira regarding sleeping in tefillin. One brisa says, Yoshan Adam tefillin shina sarai, avaloi shina kva. You could only have a shina sarai, not a shina kva in your tefillin. But Tani Yidach, but ask the Gemara, there's another brisa that says, ben kva ben arai, that you could sleep kva and arai in your tefillin. And then there's a third brisa, loy kva v'loy rai. So of course the Gemara's question is, how do we reconcile all these brises? Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. The brisa that says that you can't have neither a shinas kva nor a shinas rai is talking about the nakele biyodei. He's holding the tefillin in the hand. We're worried that if you're holding the tefillin in your hand, you may come to drop the tefillin. And since you may come to drop the tefillin, that's why we have to be strict. This way Rashi explains. If you're wearing the tefillin, then the halacha is you can't have a shinas kvar because we're worried shem yafiach. Shinas sarai, that there is no such concern, is permitted. In a situation where you put something on top of the tefillin, and you don't put it on your head, says Rashi, but just right next to your head, we could be even more lenient, and then even a Shinas Kvar and a Shinas Rai are mutter. Ask the Gemara, the Kama Shinas Rai, and exactly how long is a Shinas Rai? Says the Gemara, Tani Rami by Yecheskel, Kdei Hiluch Mea Amma. The amount of time it takes to walk 100 Amma. Tani Nami Hachi, Hayoshim B'Tfilin, if somebody's sleeping while he wears tefillin, V'roi Kari, and he has an emission, he has to immediately remove the tefillin. Don't even wait till you wash your hands. How do you take them off? You're Tameh, the person who's about Kari. So Oiches Bertsua, grab onto the strap of the tefillin, but don't hold on to the backs. Divrei Reb Yaakov. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. Chama miyosha adam betfil and shinus arai. You always can sleep in shinus arai, v'lo shinus kva. Kama shinus arai, k'day hiluch ama. So from here we see, says the Ritva, there's a machloikis between Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim if somebody could sleep shinus kva in the tefillin. And that's the way, and according to Rabbi Yaakov, one could sleep even shinus kva in the tefillin. Tosfos, the very maskal HaYoshvin, disagrees. And he says, certainly Rabbi Yaakov agrees that one may not sleep a shinus kva in the tefillin. The machloikis here is regarding shinus arai in the tefillin by night. Rabbi Yaakov says, as long as it's a shinus arai, it's mutter, and doesn't make a difference whether it's taking place by day or by night. Whereas the Chachamim hold that even though it's only a shinus arai, since it's by night, it's very easy that could turn into a shinus kva, and therefore we have to be machmer. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Oslo Adam Lisha B'yoyim, a person may not sleep during the day, Yoysim Mishinus Asus, more than the time that a horse sleeps at one time. The Kat Mishinus Asus, how much is that? Says the Gemara, Shita Nishni, 60 breaths. Amar Bai Shansi Demar, the amount of time my Rebbe slept, Rabbi Ben Achenik, the Rav, was the same amount of time that Rav slept. The Rav learned it from Rebbe, and Rebbe learned it from David. The David could susaya. What did he do to be able to know that the time for Shinas Sarai is up? That's only Shinas Kavas. How did he know? It says the Gemara, could Rav could David? He slept the amount that David HaMelech slept. Well, David slept the amount of Susya, and the Susya slept Shita Nishma. Says the Gemara, Abaye Avinayim, the Ma'ayel from this Lebekuva. He would take a nap by day, the amount of time it takes to travel from Pumbadisa to Bekuve, and currently Rabbi Yosef said regarding him, at Masai Otsal Tishkov, how long will you, the lazy person, sleep? Masai Takubishnaska. He said that's already too much sleeping. So here we're learning that by day we have to be very careful not to sleep too much. And as Fasema says, the reason we have to be so careful by day is because we have to be concerned about Bittul Torah. But then I saw that the Sefer Leket Yosha says that if somebody sleeps by day with a good purpose, for example, since we're learning Masechta Sukkah, he says if somebody sleeps on Sukkos, because on Erev Sukkos, because it's coming Sukkos by night, and I'm Masechta, we're learning over and over how a critical part of being Mekayim the Mitzvah Sukkah is by sleeping in the Sukkah, so he does it so he should be able to sleep by night, then everything becomes mutter. And the Gemara says, we can't sleep more than the Shinas Asos. But there are many opinions, what is the Shinas Asos? Some say it's even 2-3 hours, because they saw that the Arizal would sleep Shabbos afternoon for that amount of time. So I saw that the Rishonim, the Baiskim say, you can't bring a Raya for many reasons. First of all, on Shabbos, there's a din of Shina B'Shabbos Tanim. There's a special point to sleep on Shabbos. So maybe it was only then that he slept that long. Never would he do so during the week. Furthermore, what the Arizal was able to accomplish when he slept is not something that we could relate to. So maybe the Arizal slept that long, but that doesn't mean that we have a right to sleep that long, any time. Another pshat that I saw is it could be that the Arizal slept that amount of time, but that's only because he got up in between. The issue is if you sleep in a straight time without any interruption. But if somebody does that with interruption, that isn't a consideration. The Shals Chuvis Binyan Oilam says that even though some Al Gemara is being so strict about sleeping by day, he says that if somebody sleeps by day in order that he should be able to be up by night to learn, then he's allowed to sleep. Furthermore, he says that let's say somebody, the night comes, and the person wants to learn by night. So because he wants to learn by night, he learned all night. He had an opportunity to learn, so he learned all night. But because he did that, when the day came, he was very tired. And since he was very tired, he needed to sleep more than the Shita Nishmi. The halacha is that we could be lenient. Tana Rabbanan. Says the Gemara, Hanichnas Lishim B'yoyim. If somebody goes to sleep during the day, Rotz Acholot, if he wants, he could take his tefillin off. Rotz Maniach, he may leave the tefillin on. But Laila, by night, Cholot Tzvei Maniach, he can't leave his tefillin on. Divrei Reb Nosson. Reb Yosef Ma'ayol, the young boys, Loilam Chaltzim, they always take off the tefillin when they take a nap. Einem Anichan, and we don't let them keep the tefillin on, because such people, we have to be worried, Shurigilim Batuma, they're more likely to have an emission of Zera. Laima Kosova. So obviously, says the Gemara, it's obvious that Reb Yosef's opinion is that about Keri is also Laniach Tefillin. And that's why we have to be so strict making these people take off the tefillin. Amar Baya, it's not necessarily that's the case. And the concern there is, Biyaldim Neshesayim in my Meskin. We're talking about young men with their wives. And that's why we're being so strict. Shemil De Hegel Avela, they may come to have relations while they're wearing tefillin. Tana Bonin, Shochach V'shimesh Mitas B'tefillin. If somebody forgot and he was wearing tefillin and he had relations with his wife, he shouldn't hold on to the strap of the tefillin, and certainly not with the backs of the tefillin. First he has to wash his hands. And since they touch what they weren't supposed to touch, we have to make sure that the hands are cleaned before we allow him even to touch the tefillin to take them off. Our Gemara's taught us that when it comes to sleeping, one may not sleep outside of the sukkah, both a shinus arai and a shinus kva, because we have to be concerned that the shemi yirodin, and since he may fall asleep, he's not allowed to sleep outside the sukkah on the shinus kva certainly, and therefore the halach is, he shouldn't take a nap outside the sukkah even. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Obach says, what the Gemara means to say is that if somebody should not take a nap outside the sukkah on sukkahs, but let's say somebody fell asleep outside of the sukkah, he says there's no point and there's no need to wake him up. Because while he's sleeping, he's potter from the mitzvah sukkah. You don't have to wake him off, you don't have to wake him up to have that type of yontif sukkahs, and therefore the halacha is that if he just fell asleep outside the sukkah, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, we could leave him there. Says the Gemara, Ma'aseh v'vila Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai litumas atafshin. They brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai some food to taste on sukkahs. L'gamliel shteik v'savis. They brought Rabbi Shmuel two dates to eat, udali shamayim and a cup of water. Vamo helam l'sukkah. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel both said, take the food up to the sukkah. We don't want to eat them chutz l'sukkah. Shnas l'loy Reb Tzadok, when they gave this amount of food to Reb Tzadok, oichel, he would eat bread. He would eat mamish bread, pox mikabeya, as long as it was less than a beya. Not l'bamapa, where he was careful to hold on to it, not hold his hand, have his hands that he did not wash, actually hold the bread. He held it with a towel. Vachel chutz l'sukkah. The halacha is, why did he not have to wash his hands? So Rashi explains, because he held the less than a kebeya, there is no chiv of netilas yadayim. But even though there is no chiv of netilas yadayim, still he wanted to be machmir. That's why he wrapped it in a towel. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos' approach is that since Reb Tzadok was a kayin, that's why he was careful to eat his food b'tahara, and therefore, even though there wasn't a kebeya food here, he was careful to wrap the food, and eat it that way. What's the point of telling us Reb Tzadok's story? So as we're going to see in the Gemara, there are Talmidei Chachamim that were machmer not to eat or drink anything chutz l'sukkah. What our Gemara is teaching us is that a Talmid Chacham doesn't have to do so. And if a Talmid Chacham wants to eat less than the shir chutz l'sukkah, the halacha is he may do so. Ask the Gemara, Masalistar. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Gamaliel went even to eat in the sukkah an achil sarai. And then the Mishnah tells us the Reb Tzadik did not do so. So how do we understand this back and forth of our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, the way to understand it is as follows. In if somebody wants to be machmer, he has every right to be machmer, the less be mishum yehura. Many times the Gemara speaks about the concept of kol apotim and adov of oiseyu. If somebody is not obligated to do something and he does it, nikra hejit. Says the Bi'alocha in Simon Tov Reish Lamates, Divrei Maskel Hajoitis, says that that's only somebody is sitting in the sukkah when it's raining, when he's mitzvah. But if somebody is not sitting in the sukkah because he's not eating enough, still, that type of action is not considered gaiva. Because, explains the Bi'alocha, when somebody sits in the sukkah when it's raining, or when he's clearly mitzvah, everybody realizes that he may be trying to act in a way that other people don't act, and therefore, the halacha is that maybe he has no right to do so. However, when somebody, it's a beautiful day, and yes, I'm eating less than a kebaya, but when people see me eating less than a kebaya, they don't know I'm eating less than a kebaya, and therefore, when I sit in the sukkah, it doesn't look like a yuara, and since it doesn't look like a yuara, that's why I'm allowed to sit. That's why I could eat in the sukkah, and it's not in the category of kol apotim and adov oseyu nikra hejit. And that's why, explains the Ra, the Mishnah brings two stories. The story of Gamliel and the story of Yochanan Zakkai to show us everybody's behavior, that they were machmer, and on the other hand, Rav Tzadik was not machmer, because Rav Tzadik was concerned that people would consider this a yuara. And therefore, the Gemara is teaching us that everybody has a right to act in the way that they think is appropriate to them. Says the Gemara, Nasan Tzadik Oichel Poks Mekabeya, not the map of Ochel Chutz L'Sukka V'Lebeya Echrav. Ha, from here it seems, Kabeya, that if he ate a Kabeya, that he would have to eat in the Sukkah. Ask the Gemara Lema to have it to the Yufta, who says that it's two or three bayim. And the bayah who said that you could eat a kebaya outside the sukkah, our Mishnah seems to say only less than a kebaya could be consumed outside of the sukkah, but not a whole kebaya. Answers the Gemara, Dilma, the way to understand that why Reb Tzadik ate less than a kebaya has nothing to do with achila sukkah. Achila sukkah you don't have to have unless it's a bayah or maybe even more. When you have less than a kebaya, you don't have to wash your hands, and you don't have to say brachas hamazon. A bracha rishona, you always have to make. A bracha rishona, you always have to make it, no matter how little you have to eat. A bracha, and you don't have to make a bracha achrayna if you didn't eat kebaya. But regarding the halacha of eating outside the sukkah, the halacha is up to kebaya, is considered an achila sarai. But the halach is not great with tzaddik, and the halach is when it comes to netil sidayim, bracha achroina, the shir is a kezayis. And even when you're only eating kezayis, you should wash your hands and say berachas hamazon and do everything, and because that's already considered a shir choshev.